I'm Anna. I am 1 year into my PhD as of tomorrow, and today I'm going to be talking to you about two different projects I've been working on, both of which fit under the broad umbrella of resilience. And what I'm trying to do with my PhD research is to look at the role of acute climatic disturbances in shaping the future of coral reef ecosystems. So when it comes to resilience, there's quite a broad array of terminology, none of the terms which have only one definition. So I don't want anyone to get too caught up in the terminology of it all today. I've done enough head scratching for all of us, but I will be talking about two main terms, and that is inertia and elasticity, both of which I'm combining to try and quantify resilience in some way. So hopefully by the end of the next slide, you will have an idea that this wing of a Qantas Boeing 717 on our return from Ningaloo a couple of weeks ago would be both inert and elastic, hopefully. So inertia and elasticity are both derived from physics, and inertia is the tendency of something to remain unchanged. So this applied to an ecosystem would be, given various forces acting upon it, various perturbations, it would be unlikely to change. So that plane wing, we wouldn't want it to change too much if it's got a wind force acting upon it. Elasticity is after a force or perturbation has been removed, is it going to return to its previous state? So if the plane wing wobbles a little bit, we want it to come back and continue being a plane wing. So these two ideas I'm kind of trying to combine in some way to quantify resilience. The first part of my PhD, I decided to take quite a broad look at this idea of resilience and what it means for marine systems. So I'm considering coral reefs, kelp systems, seagrass and mangroves as the key marine habitat formers that we see in the marine environment. I'm interested in how these respond to acute climatic disturbances and what resilience they may have. And I think what's also really interesting that I might be able to ask the literature about this through a meta-analysis is what variables might increase or decrease the resilience of these habitats. So this could be management type variables, so things like fishing pressure or how much human activity there is at a particular region, or it's things like geographic isolation from other reefs, or the intensity and scale of the perturbation itself. This is the kind of data I'm looking in the literature for. So a meta-analysis is essentially a synthesis of the statistical synthesis of data. So looking through the literature, this is just an example where we're monitoring coral cover through time, and also the occurrence of different acute disturbances has been recorded. So if we just focus in on these data points which can be related to that heat wave, there's two things I'm interested in. And the first one relates to the inertia that I talked about. So that's a proxy for that would be what impact that heat wave has on a particular system. So here, coral. And then the second thing I'm interested in is the elasticity. And this is likely to be more complicated, but it's about that recovery trajectory, whether or not it recovers and how quickly. So this is ongoing work, and here I'm just showing the locations where I've collected data for thus far, and this is just for coral. So we're tracking through the years, as you'll see here, and any disturbance that has occurred where data has also been collected before, after, and ideally at subsequent points after that, is coming up. So the larger data points mean that data was collected over a long period of time, so it's some kind of long-term monitoring study, whereas the small data points are probably just a before and an after measurement. So this is for coral. As I go forward, I'll be doing the same for kelp and seagrass and possibly mangroves, and then I want to put all of this in context. So often people talk about coral reefs being particularly vulnerable as we go into a changing climate, but this may give me an opportunity to actually quantify that. Okay, I'm going to change tacks a little bit now and go from that very broad study that is the meta-analysis to focusing in on one particular type of reef and one particular type of disturbance. So these are corals, each with different morphologies. And I'm interested in how they respond to disturbances, in particular hydrodynamic disturbances. So this work arose from observations while I was up in the field up at Ningaloo, where if you imagine the shore over here, the deep ocean out here, Ningaloo Reef comes up across the slope, across the crest, and down onto the reef flat. And depending which area you're in, you see quite different morphologies growing. And I guess my hypothesis, and this is established to some extent in the literature, is that that's driven by hydrodynamics and by light. Hydrodynamics in the sense that out here you've got quite high wave energy, and as you move across the crest and onto the flat, this is dissipated, allowing more complex morphologies here. So I didn't just want to rely on my observations. Luckily, through Ningaloo Outlook and CSIRO, we have sites dispersed across that gradient. So I had a look at the coral data from these, and here I just show the coral cover for the reef slope and the reef flat, with the colours showing different morphologies. And I saw what I expected for encrusting coral and massive coral. So these are the hardier morphologies, where we see more of them out on the reef slope in that higher wave environment. Whereas the tabular coral, which is particularly fragile, we see more of on the reef flat. Complex coral here just means any kind of structurally complex morphology. And I think probably because I've grouped branching corals, digitate corals, and corymbose corals, which are all slightly different morphologies, it's harder to interpret what that means here. So I'll be looking into that more, perhaps trying some different groupings. So the question that I think is interesting here is what these morphologies mean in changing climate and what they mean for disturbances. So just say a cyclone comes through across Ningaloo Reef. What does that mean for the different morphologies? What do we lose? Do we lose more of the fragile ones on the reef flat? Maybe lose one or two out on the reef slope, but not so much. And then I'd like to be able to investigate how that succession follows on from that. So I guess the idea is really, are these complex morphologies more fragile but faster to recover? So is there a trade-off there between growth rate and fragility? This comes back, is there a trade-off between inertia and elasticity? I've decided to do something called functional structural coral modelling, and this is coming from a terrestrial plant background. So since the 1960s there's been something called functional structural plant modelling, which really excelled with the advent of modern computing. And what it does is combine the 3D structure of a plant and the influences of environment on how it grows. Because plants are quite plastic, they'll respond to light, they'll respond to nutrients, and they'll change their shape accordingly. And turns out corals are quite similar in the sense that they rely on light and nutrients as well, and are influenced by environmental variables such as hydrodynamics. So this is in the development stage. This is just an example. So if I was to model this square in here, I'd give it information about the hydrodynamics there and give it information about what coral recruits are there following a disturbance. And through time, I'd be able to model how this succession occurs. So very simple at the moment, we'd just be seeing different coral colonies here growing through time. But in the end, I'd like to be able to apply this to a 3D situation and consider how this might change as we go forward into the future where we might have different disturbance regimes. We've got meshes out on the Ningaloo Reef, which I could compare the model output to. So thank you. All of this work is ongoing. I'm very interested in any comments, people.